Chapter 15. Lexi spent most of the night cleaning up the mess in her house with the help of Jack, her parents, and a couple bottles of wine, so she slept in the next morning. She hadn't found anything missing, unless you counted two pairs of red lace panties that she couldn't seem to find. Oddly enough, she found something extra, a gold cross on a chain that definitely wasn't hers. She set it aside, figuring it was probably her mother's. Nance had left her a message that Veronica's wake was that afternoon, so she scooted over to the florist and chose a gorgeous bouquet of white lilies and roses before heading over to pick the ladies up for the wake. Despite her misgivings at attending Veronica's wake and seeing Ramona, Lexi couldn't help but smile at the clear blue sky as she drove to the retirement center. The gorgeous, crisp fall morning had given way to a warm afternoon, which was the perfect weather for the champagne-colored silk sleeveless blouse and black pencil skirt Lexi had chosen from the rumpled pile of clothes on her closet floor. She pulled up to the front of the retirement center, where Nance, Ida, Ruth, and Helen were all waiting for her, each dressed in a beige trench coat and holding a gigantic patent leather purse. She jumped out of the car and pushed the front seat forward, marveling at how easily Ruth, Ida, and Helen could contort themselves to fit into the back of the small VW Beetle. "I'm still amazed that you guys can get into this car so easily," Lexi said.
"Oh, pfft," Ruth answered. "We take yoga and Pilates. This is easy. Try playing Twister with the folks down on the first floor, and you'll see what difficult is."
Nance, Ida, and Helen laughed at her joke. Lexi had no idea what she was talking about, and figured she was probably better off that way, so she didn't ask. "You guys won't believe what happened last night," Lexi said as she pulled out of the parking lot.
"What?"
"My house got broken into. They ransacked it." Nance gasped.
"Are you okay?"
"Yep, I'm fine. Sprinkles was in the RV with Mom and Dad, and they weren't even there. It must have happened sometime in the afternoon. I discovered it when I got home from your place."
"Was it a robbery?" Helen asked.
"No, nothing was taken." She didn't feel the need to mention the panties. They were probably at Jack's. Nance pressed her lips together.
"This has to do with the murder case, doesn't it?"
"I think so, but I can't imagine why," Lexi said. "I don't know anything about the murders."
"Maybe someone thinks you are asking too many questions," Ida offered.
Maybe. Lexi's stomach clenched at the thought. Was the break-in a warning? "I found out a couple of other interesting tidbits about the case."
"Do tell," Nan said.
Lexi pulled into a parking spot in the back corner of the funeral home lot and turned in her seat so she could see the ladies in the back. "You know how Chez Philippe was broken into the night after the murders?" Four gray heads nodded in unison.
"Well, I just assumed they were looking for something in the files," Lexi continued. "Information or customers' names? But they weren't."
"What were they looking for?" Ida asked.
"I don't know exactly, but they didn't search the files. They searched the sewing area."
Ruth's brows lifted a fraction of an inch.
"What could someone possibly want in there?"
Lexi shrugged. "Who knows? But it's interesting that that's where Millie was when we saw her there yesterday."
"Yeah, that sure is something to think about."
Helen rummaged in her purse, then, much to Lexi's surprise, pulled out an iPad.
"I'm just going to make a note to look into that further."
"Well, if you guys liked that, this is even better." Lexi leaned forward toward the ladies.
Stuart Wiggins' neighbor told us that Wiggins had a fight with a woman, we assumed it was Veronica, shortly before she was killed. He said he saw her speed off in a red Toyota.
So? Ida asked.
Detective Davies told me that Veronica drove a black Prius.
Then who was in the red Toyota?
Ruth asked. That's what we need to find out, Lexi said, as she pushed her door open and climbed out of the car. Helen stuffed the iPad back into her purse as they walked toward the McGreevy funeral home. The heavy glass and oak doors swung open as if by magic as they approached, and two gray-suited gentlemen ushered them in. The somber energy hit Lexi as soon as she walked inside. The faint sound of hymnal music blended with hushed conversation, and the sweet smell of freshly cut flowers dragged at her heart, driving home the gravity of the occasion. The four of them stood in the entryway of the centuries-old mansion. In front of them, a tasteful sign gave directions to the different viewings. Apparently, business was good for old Mr. McGreevy, because there were three viewings today.
We're in luck, Ida whispered as she pointed to the sign.
Not only was Veronica being waked here, but Philippe was also.
We can kill two birds with one stone, Nans whispered back. Ida, Ruth, and Helen, you go check out Philippe's wake. Lexi and I will tackle Veronica's. Looks like it's in the rose petal room.
The ladies were no strangers to wakes, especially at McGreevy's, and Nans knew exactly where the rose petal room was. Lexi followed her down the hall, stopping only to peek into the small, narrow alcove they used for refreshments. She noticed with dismay that they had grocery store cookies out on trays. How tacky. She made a mental note to talk to McGreevy about a discounted price if he wanted to offer cookies and pastry from her bakery. Nans grabbed her arm and propelled her into the rose petal room. Lexi's throat constricted as she looked at Veronica laid out in her casket. Even though she hadn't gotten along with Veronica, she certainly didn't wish this on her. Glancing around the room, she noticed it was practically empty. Veronica's parents, sister, and brother stood on the other side of the casket. About a dozen people sat in the metal folding chairs that had been set up in rows. Eddie Sharp stood in the corner, shooting angry looks at them. Lexi elbowed Nans in the ribs and nodded her head toward the corner. Nan started toward Eddie, whose eyes widened as he realized they were headed straight for him.
"Aren't you the nice young man from the museum?" Nans asked.
"Yes,"
Eddie said, his eyes darting to the left and then right. Probably looking for an escape route, Lexi thought.
"Oh, it must be terrible having your friend and his fiancée to mourn."
Nan shook her head and made tisking sounds.
Did you know Veronica well?
Not as well as I knew Stu,
Eddie answered.
You and he must have been very close, Nan said. I mean, for you to come here to mourn his fiancée. I bet you probably were the types of friends that did everything together.
Eddie shrugged.
Well, not everything.
But surely, you must have known them well enough to have some idea about what got them killed, Nan said.
Listen, lady, I don't know anything. But if you want to know who was close enough to Veronica to know everything, then you might ask her.
Eddie slid his eyes to the left. Lexi's heart leaped into her throat when she realized who he was looking at. Ramona. Ramona looked up and their eyes met, sending a jolt through Lexi. Ramona's eyes widened and she took a step toward them.
You!
Lexi fought the urge to run as Ramona advanced on them. Out of the corner of her eye, she could see the other mourners had turned to look at them. She glanced back at Eddie, but the corner was empty. He'd made his escape. Just what do you think you are doing here? Ramona demanded. Nans drew herself up to her full 5'1" height and said,
We're paying our respects.
Ramona ignored Nans and stepped close to Lexi, her face so close that Lexi could smell she'd had a liverwurst sandwich for lunch.
Listen, Miss Busybody, you better stick to your own business and get out of Veronica's.
What do you mean? Lexi feigned ignorance.
You know damn well what I mean. You've always had it in for Veronica, and now you've been meddling around and making things worse for everyone. Can't you leave Veronica alone, especially now when she's dead?
Ramona's voice rose to a shriek as she said the last 5 words. Lexi's pulse surged. She could feel everyone in the room staring at her. A dark-suited man hovered in the doorway. Probably one of the McGreevies, ready to throw them out if they caused more of a scene. Nance pulled at her elbow to leave, but Lexi jerked her arm free.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Lexi held her palms up in front of her.
The last thing I want to do is make things worse. And I have no idea what you mean by meddling. You're a liar, just like you were in high school.
Ramona spat the words at her.
I don't understand why you're so upset.
Lexi narrowed her eyes at Ramona.
Do you have something to hide?
Nance tugged on Lexi's arm again as Ramona shot daggers at Lexi with her eyes. The guy in the suit started toward them, and Lexi realized Nance had the right idea. They should get out of there before they made more of a scene. Lexi let Nance drag her out of the room into the large hall. She leaned against the wall and puffed out her cheeks, the blast of air sending her bangs flying.
Boy, she was madder than a cat in a bathtub,
Nance said.
Yeah, but didn't that seem kind of excessive?
Lexi asked.
Well, look who's here.
Lexi's stomach twisted at the sound of the voice behind her. She spun around, coming face to face with Detective Davies.
What brings you here, Baker?
Davies asked.
Why, we're just paying our respects,
Nans answered for both of them.
Oh, really? Is that all?
Davies chomped her gum as she narrowed her eyes at them.
Yep, Lexi said. What brings you here?
Oh, didn't you know? Detecting 101. Always go to the wake.
Davy's baby blues lit up with amusement. As she brushed past Lexi on her way into the rose petal room, she threw one parting comment over her shoulder.
They say you can usually find the killer at the wake.
And look, here you are. Well, I think we may not want to press our luck here.
Nan said as she watched Detective Davies disappear into the rose petal room.
Let's see if the others have anything to report.
They headed toward the velvet slumber room where Philippe was. Passing the refreshment alcove, they saw Ida, Ruth, and Helen bending over a table of cookies. Each of them were piling cookies into large napkins they held in their hands. Nan said from the doorway. The three ladies jumped, then whirled around, the cookie-laden napkins behind their backs.
Oh, Mona, it's you.
Ruth's cheeks were bright pink. Nan walked into the room, closer to her friends. Lexi wandered over to one of the tables and picked up a shortbread cookie.
Did you find anything out?
Nan said in a low voice. Lexi inspected the cookie. It looked fine. She bit in, nibbling the edge and turning the small piece of cookie around in her mouth. Too sweet. Not crispy enough.
There's not much going on in there,
Ruth said, wrapping her stack of cookies up in the napkin and shoving it in her purse.
We did see that Millie lady, though, Helen added.
She wasn't very happy to see me,
Ida said, as she shoved her cookie package into her black patent leather purse.
She called me a busybody.
Nans and the other ladies laughed at Ida's indignation.
She seemed right mad,
Ida said as Lexi tossed the rest of her cookie in the trash.
If you ask me, she could be the killer with the way she's acting.
Helen nodded her head.
It sure seems like she has something to hide.
What did you guys find out?
Ruth looked from Nans to Lexi.
Oh, we had a little run-in over there.
Nans glanced out in the hall.
Let's get out of here, and we'll tell you about it in the car.
The ladies secured their purses and marched down the main hallway, through the foyer and out the front door. Just as they were stepping down from the last granite step into the parking lot, a car screeched around the corner. They jumped back up onto the steps, Lexi's heart leaping into her throat, when the car careened past, barely missing them as it sped off toward the exit. She'd had just enough time to look inside at the driver.
Did you see who that was?
Nans asked. Lexi nodded. Ramona. And she was driving a red Toyota Corolla.